on this episode of Still Loading.
I'm proud of you, Kid Icarus. You really proved that size isn't everything.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I am your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, it is episode 6 of Captain N, the Game Master, and with me for our journey down this Captain N rabbit hole, I just lost it there, is my good old buddy, Dexter. Dexter, how are you doing tonight?
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Video Land.
And another guest on first time guest, actually, this is going to be weird because you're going to hear this exact same spiel in the next Captain N episode. But we have the Art of Nintendo Power himself, Stefan Reese. Stefan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So through the magic of technology, this is my second time recording with you. But the first time your users or your listeners are hearing me. So. Hi, everybody.
The time travel here makes as much sense as Captain N logic. So, I mean, it's very fitting. It's
actually
thematic.
It works. It works pretty well. We're going with the aesthetic of the show, as they say. So you already said it in episode 7, which people hear in a month. What do you do, Stefan? What is the Art of Nintendo Power and your nonprofit?
Sure, yeah. So the Art of Nintendo Power is actually an exhibit that my nonprofit puts on at gaming conventions mostly. So I am the executive director of the Interactive Art Collection, which is a nonprofit traveling art museum focused on the video game industry. So in the days of yore, when they actually did physical art for video games.
God, I miss physical art.
We focus on Nintendo Power Magazine, hence the Art of Nintendo Power, and I also use that as my personal branding because it's good SEO. People, it's easy to find me when Nintendo is in your name. So we usually piggyback off of retro gaming conventions and put up pop-up art museums. We actually just did one this last weekend for the Megabit Gaming Expo in Simi Valley. That was actually my first show back since before the dark times. So it's good to be back. The last show I did was in Portland Retro Gaming Expo 2019. So I was definitely ready to spread my wings and fly again. But our flagship exhibit, as I mentioned, is Art of Nintendo Power. We currently have in the archive over 350 pieces of original art from Nintendo Power Magazine.
Cool.
So that would be like the actual drawings and sculptures that were used in the production of the magazine. So usually a show will be about 75 of those pieces. It's not logistically easy to travel with a lot of art. So usually it's 75 pieces. So that's usually comes down to like 40 frames, because a lot of times I'll have more than, like, if I'm doing especially like an interior spread, like my Zombies Ate My Neighbors frame has 6 pieces of original Zombies Ate My Neighbors art and then 6 pages from the magazine. I frame everything with the source material. So if I have a cover image, then I'll frame it with the cover. So that, honestly, it was mostly to cut down on questions, because people generally have a difficult time wrapping their head around these pieces of history still existing. And so the assumption then is, these are posters, or these are prints, or these are like what is it that I'm looking at? And when I frame it with the source material, there's that logical connection of like, oh, I see that thing there. That must be that thing. So all of my pieces are framed with the source material, which also makes them a lot larger than they would need to be normally. So traveling with that many pieces is a challenge sometimes. But that also gives me an excuse to make things sort of fresh every time, right? So when you see an exhibit from the Interactive Art Collection, most times you'll see it, even if you've seen it before, it'll be different.
All right. I followed you for a little bit on Twitter and Instagram, and I love the artwork that you post. It's the coolest thing to me that you were able to track down and find these pieces, like the original pieces that inspired the art of Nintendo Power. Like even like you were mentioning in episode 7,
you mentioned in the future,
like you have some of the original models that pictures were taken of, you know, like Wily's spaceship from the Mega Man 2 one, like, and stuff
like that. The shoes from Track and Field, or the head of Dracula from issue 2. That kind of stuff. It was real stuff, and a lot of times it was very low budget. So like that Dracula, the Dracula head, for instance, is a Halloween store mask.
That's fantastic. I love that type of stuff. That's like, what is it? I was listening to another podcast. They were visiting like that. One of the private collector has a lot of like Hollywood memorabilia and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of the Batman 66 TV show costumes, mm-hmm. and the Riddler costume was literally just like a green suit with Sharpie question marks drawn all over it. Like it wasn't like professionally designed. It's just some production assistant had to go in and just draw all that shit on there.
One of my favorite things is the on the Mario Paint. So for the Mario Paint cover of Nintendo Power, it was a sculpted Mario. But the sculptor knew exactly where the camera was going to be for this photo. So he only sculpted what the camera would see. So if you turn around, if you turn the Mario model around, it's a popsicle stick and just a bunch of like unpainted polymer clay. And it's horrifying.
I feel like you could turn that into a horror movie. Like it's like the Bride of Chucky or like a Chucky
like
movie.
When I put that, a bunch of people did like Cthulhu memes around it when I put that out on Twitter. It was funny.
It's fantastic. But so we have all gathered here today to witness this union.
No,
I know. Right? I realized as soon as I started that, I'm like, it sounds like we're all getting married. We've all gathered here today to witness the union of Captain N and us. We're talking about episode 6 of Captain N the Game Master, which is called Wishful Thinking. The basic premise of this episode is Pit, or they just called Kid Icarus, though it's weird. Wikipedia references correctly as Pit, but the show calls him Kid Icarus. That's kind of interesting. Anyway, but Kid Icarus wishes that he could become bigger, and they find a magic lamp and he gets bigger. And that's the end. No.
I mean, it might as well be.
So, as we did in the future with episode 7, what's the first thing that stuck out to you guys about this episode? I will not go first this time. So what do you guys, what stuck out to you guys?
Didn't I go first last time?
Yeah.
In the future?
Dexter, right, go ahead, you go Dexter. First now in the past future.
Oh gosh. The first thing that stuck out to me, I would probably say that, similar to a lot of other things in this show where they're kind of dancing around, avoiding actual names of things. The genie in this that's granting the wishes is the power genie or something, I think, mm-hmm. is what he's called. And I was like, shouldn't he have been the game genie? I mean, was that around?
Oh my God, they missed the opportunity. That should have been game genie.
Would that have been out?
Was Game Genie out? Yeah, that's a good question.
I would be, even if it was, I would be remiss to believe, because like Nintendo didn't have no purview over this, right? Like they were in on it at some point, right? And they more or less hated the Game Genie.
That's true.
To the point where they did try to sue it out of existence at some point. I would think that this would be more of a Disney's Aladdin reference than it would be the Game Genie.
He was blue.
Yes, he was
this
blue.
This genie is blue, just like the Disney. But this also came out before Aladdin came out. Aladdin came out in 92, I want to say. So this would have came out Captain N influencing
Captain
Disney.
N.
There it is. It's just Captain N is an influence for the genie.
I mean, Robin Williams was a big Nintendo gamer.
You're right. He named his daughter Zelda. It's
wouldn't
true.
That be funny? Wouldn't that be funny if like they were in the like they were shopping the creative around for the genie, and I was like, you know what? I saw this cartoon called Captain N, and we need to make our genie blue.
The funny thing is, because my observations of that genie is that he just looks like a lumberjack, but he's got the voice of like a British aristocrat, And it's like the strangest juxtaposition. So he's got big buck teeth. He's wearing like a lumberjack outfit. And I'm thinking, what kind of design is this for a genie? Like, why do you think
whoever did the casting did not look at the character design?
No.
I was like, you've got a nice voice. And then they saw the cartoon. And they're like, oh, that's what he's supposed to look like.
I was expecting like a, well, howdy y'all or something, like some weird Southern bumpkin style with the buck teeth and the fucking lumberjack getup. But no, it just, his voice looks, sounds like an aristocrat. It's very strange. And he's very, what is it? Underwhelming. Or no, sorry. He doesn't have a lot of emotion in his voice. Deadpan. That's what I'm trying to come up with.
I would like to add one more thing before Stefan goes. This was the first episode that I realized, and I watched Captain N as a kid. It's the first time I realized that the ultimate warp zone that they used to summon Kevin was the power glove.
Was it?
Mm.
They're all standing around a glove, and when there's like that shot that rotates around the whole crew.
You're right.
And then it's a hand that pulls him in to the screen. I was like,
where he's like then inexplicably this weird green polygonal thing.
We spent like on episode 2 of this thing, I spent like 5 minutes just kind of breaking down my thoughts about the room that Kevin gets sucked, like his bedroom, because there's like weird like arrows, like purple arrows with like yellow outlines or something like that. And it starts on one wall and then keeps on going to the other wall, and it like loops around part of the room, and his curtains make no sense, and it just, the whole thing is very strange.
Look, if there's anything that this show knows, it's their audience.
If only that were true. All right, so Stefan, what was one of the first things that stuck out to you about this episode?
How much I cannot stand Kid Icarus talking.
Every goddamn second, like, it's this.
Charming. It's charming when he has like one or two lines a show. Like, aha, yeah, he ends everything in Icarus. That's funny.
It's funny.
But this is like about him. And yeah, and it comes off as more of like a traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, I don't... I cannot. That is 100% why I said I wanted to do episode 7 first, just in case we didn't get to do 2 tonight. I cannot handle him talking.
He is absolutely awful, and it's funny because one of the first things that I notice about this episode, from my observation, is that the first half of this episode is just flat out awful. Like, it's unbearable because, like you were saying, it's 90% Kid Icarus talking. In fact, this show has messed me up so much that I can't refer to Kid Icarus as Pitt anymore because I'm so used to this cartoon now. He's just Kid Icarus. But the second half of this cartoon is what redeemed it for me. Like I was saying, in the future, in episode 7, I like this episode more literally solely because of the last like 5 to 10 minutes. It just makes me laugh really hard. The first 5 to 10 is borderline unbearable.
Also, what freaks me out is that at some point we go, he's like hanging out back on Kid Icarus Mountain or whatever the hell he calls it.
Yeah.
From. And you're talking to another guy from his like mountain, and he also does the Icus thing, and I'm like, there's a whole fucking mountain of these people. Like, what is
the entire world is just filled with people who have the same speech impediment.
Stop it.
That's what it is. I mean no wonder he speaks that way. Everyone speaks that way where he's from.
No.
It's an accent. God. For him,
please. No.
So the episode begins with everyone playing basketball. This is now, like, what listeners will hear in episode 7. Two episodes will happen in a row of them starting an episode, the end team playing a sport. And this one happens to be basketball. And once again, Simon is using his whip, no pun or euphemism intended, to grab the ball. Wow, he's using his whip to grab the ball. That's right on the nose there. To play basketball with. And then Kid Icarus gets mad because he accidentally scores on his own team like 2 or 3 times because he's so small. Somehow even though his height literally has nothing to do with it, it just happens to, he happens to be at the wrong place at the wrong
time. Especially
for some reason, they blame his height.
Especially since he can fly.
Right. I know. That was my first thought, was like, he's complaining about being small, but Mega Man is the same size as him.
Yeah.
He's not even the smallest on the team.
You're right. He really isn't. I hate his hairstyle too. I don't know what it is, but that hairstyle really bothers me, and I don't.
That's just like really personal. You're getting really personal on this one.
I am. I should really get off of that. I don't want to make fun of this guy.
The other thing that stuck out to me, and maybe it's because we watched the Video Olympics one before getting to this one, but the thing that stuck out to me was that Lana was like, "You have really fun games on your world, Kevin," and I was like, "Wait, you don't know what basketball is, but you knew what baseball was when you got warped to that baseball game. So, like, don't you have like double dribble here, like double dribble world?" Or something.
You would assume if it's all Nintendo, if it's Video Land and there's like a land for each Nintendo game, each NES game, then you would assume she's the princess of all of Video Land, so you would assume she would know about the other like sports games. That's a good point.
Burning beds.
I didn't even burn.
That is a joke that will not make sense to anyone but us.
You'll hear it in the next episode. So Kid Icarus gets mad and he tosses the ball into some random warp zone. Duke goes chasing after it. Stefan's dying in the corner right now.
Okay. Wait. Is that a urinal that they kicked that ball down?
It's a very good question. It very well could have been. Because, I wasn't sure. It was because, so weird,
like,
looking.
Duke then clearly like is in the sewer when he goes chasing that ball.
Yeah. So did he just go down the he just flushed himself? Is that what happened here?
Also, is it just like hanging out and like in the basketball courtroom, like whatever, like the stadium? There's just like a urinal there.
Or do all of their toilets have warp zones in it for it to transport the pee and poo? Is that what's happening?
Oh my god, is there just this like horror world of just like Video Land sewage? It's just like some poor alternate reality Captain N that's just like covered in shit all the time.
That's actually why Bayou Billy's land is a swamp. It just all goes to there.
That's right. It's all Video Land shit.
It's just filled with Video Land shit. Oh my god. But because it does go through a warp zone, so they don't need piping. They don't need plumbing in this thing. It can just send it through a warp zone. Why the fuck aren't they just shitting all over Metroid? Just change the warp zone to Mother Brain's world and just let it go all there. That would just constantly troll them. Through by peeing and pooping all over their place. So Duke,
this is very highbrow. This episode is very highbrow. I'm enjoying myself very much.
If we're nothing if not classy and on the Still Loading podcast. So
we have to discuss the plumbing of every fictional world.
I love that. We just get hung up on the dumbest things that don't matter.
That's my favorite thing about this, though, where it's like you really like, let's explore this one tiny like lamppost in this corner. Why is this here? Or something like that? You know, I love those types of details. Duke goes after the ball that Kid Icarus flushed down the urinal, and he finds a lamp for some reason in the sewer. He brings it back up. Everyone's give like, you know, Duke, leave me alone. And then he accidentally like taps it three times, which unleashes the genie, which is, as we described before, looks like an aristocratic lumberjack, which is it's a bizarre juxtaposition of two different ideas. I'd love to meet an aristocratic lumberjack.
Okay. I'm sorry. Before we go on, I'm obsessing over this thing as to what it was. So because it's so bizarre. So I'm like frame by framing this what we're now calling a urinal. It's got a picture on the wall behind it, and with an arrow pointing down, like this is the thing. It's got a picture of a snake, and it's just like snakes what? Down here. What is this thing? Why are there snakes down there? Why is that the snake? Why is it the snake urinal? What's happening? I don't understand.
I really want to know. Is it like, is that like their play on like crocodiles in the sewer? It's just snakes in the sewer, which that's probably not enough. Snakes in the pipe.
Oh my god.
So Duke rubs the lamp three times. The genie comes out. You find out Duke's wish is he gets like steak or some
steak.
Shit like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, he barks and gets a T-bone steak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody else gets a wish, And it all goes horribly awry, as things with genies do. It's like they get their wish, but it's not quite what they're looking for.
They were all wishing for things that they already had, pretty much, just like more of it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, Simon wished to be, what was Simon's wish? I'm blanking on it already. Oh, he wished Princess Lana would fall head over heels for him. And then she literally fell head over heels. Like, it wasn't in love. It was literally just head over heels.
Yeah. And like, with no, like, that is like one of the first things that I was like, God, that is really problematic.
Yeah. Simon's a bit of a creep, to say the least. Like, he constantly is pining over Princess Lana. He literally just wanted to subjugate her to be in love with him. I mean, that's
right.
Pretty much
and he's
what
like,
it was.
Oh, I guess I didn't get my wish the way I wanted it.
It's Simon's such a creep. Kevin wanted to get to become, like, basically increase his power pad skills. I didn't quite understand that. Like,
he wanted to be like a crack shot with his blaster, and like, so then he started like blowing up trophies for some reason.
shooting off lamp posts or the light.
Yeah,
and
he's
lamp.
Like, haha, I can't miss, and he's just like destroying the room he's in. Yeah, that's weird.
I also, one of my favorites though was Mega Man's one. Because he's like, I just wish I was super strong. And then nothing happens and he gets pissed off. So he starts stomping on the ground. And then the entire palace of power just collapses. The entire thing just disintegrates. And they're like, this isn't what we wanted. I'm like, well, no shit, man. Like, that escalated so fast. Everyone else's, it's like, okay, it didn't quite work out for them type of thing. But Mega Man just destroyed everything. Shattered it. And then they wish for everything to go back to normal. And the genie's like, that's the first sensible thing that I've heard all day. And
I cannot stand, by the way, since we'll talk about him a lot in this episode, how blasé the genie is about everything. Like, he just like super doesn't want to be there. And it's just like, yeah, all of his, first of all, and he's like talking off mic. You can barely hear him. They're using this like weird reverb. Mm-hmm. There's nothing appealing about that performance on that genie, but he's just like, he's so checked out. Like, it's weird how checked out he is the entire time.
I kind of found that funny because he was just like, he just didn't give a shit, and that made it even more funny to me that he's doing all these things. He's like, well, it's almost like Eeyore, it's a living. Or no, that's
spoiler alert though. Like, even at the end when they like basically free him or whatever, like, he's still like, oh, great. Cool. Thanks.
This is what I've always wanted. Yes. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. So then, Stefan just emailed me the screenshot of the snake toilet of the snake girl.
It's weird.
Like, what's that supposed to be?
Snakes that way.
That's so ridiculous looking. Oh my god. So. They wish everything to go back to normal, and then they put the lamp away. But Kid Icarus, out of everyone else, gets a wish that goes awry, but Kid Icarus doesn't. And so he goes to find the lamp, and they hid it in like this nuclear safe. It looks like a nuclear power plant. It's got like this pink ring around it. It looks like that thing could go nuclear at any moment, but that's where they hid the lamp for some reason.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a vault, I think.
It has to be the sewer. The snake sewer. Yeah.
The snake sewer. The snake sewer. The S squared. So Mother Brain sees this. Mother Brain sees this and decides that she is going to send King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard to go get the lamp so that way they can wish everything upon themselves. You know, they can wish Mother Brain to rule everything, right? And Kid Icarus goes and gets the lamp out first, and wishes himself huge, and his head just pops up through Princess Lana's room, which I was like, that's a little weird. Like, this, the princess is sleeping and her head just, and his head just pops up through the floor, which I don't know if we're going to use this as the thumbnail. I figured that might be a good thumbnail one too. Just Kid Icarus, because he looks so sad when his head pops through the ceiling. He's just so defeated. It's like, he's so depressed about it. And it, he just, his eyes looked dead, and it was just the most insane thing I've ever seen.
My favorite part about that scene was everybody coming in, and they all had their own like special robe, and mm-hmm. Mega Man's is like this adorable little orange robe, and I was like, I need that little Mega Man robe now.
I didn't even notice that they all had like their own version of their robes on. That's kind of amazing. I had no idea. That's fantastic. So they said, Kid Icarus, change yourself back to normal. And he's like, I would, but the lamp is like under my foot and I can't reach it, which in my mind, I'm like, if you're touching the lamp, that means you're the owner, like you're the master of the lamp. So since his foot was touching it, why couldn't he have just wished himself back to being small? He could have just done it right there and then. Plot's over.
Yeah, because Duke just makes a wish for his like steak or whatever with also he's a dog. But like the lamp is just sitting in front of him, like he's not even touching it, and he gets his steak.
And half the episode, King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard aren't touching the lamp, and they're getting their wishes.
Also, one thing I wanted to call out real quick, and I'm sure this happens in a lot of episodes. Are there any rules around? Of course, I know the answer is no. But are there any rules around like Mother Brain and her ability to watch them? Because like
no. Just
because she's just like, this is just before the Kid Icarus part, right? Like after they have initially done their like their wishes, and they're like, well, fuck, that was a bad idea. Like Mother Brain's just watching them. like does that just, is she just always watching them? Like
she's like us. Maybe that's, we're all going to turn into Mother Brain.
She's the audience surrogate. She's the audience surrogate. How we watch, the way we watch the show is how she is through her eyes. Is that what this is?
That makes me really uncomfortable.
I know, right? I don't want to be Mother Brain, especially with all of King Hippo's insults, like Mother Breath to her and all that other stuff. Once again, episode 7, you just wait for it.
Right. It'll be funny in a month. These are the best jokes.
These are the best jokes. In a month, you'll know it. So King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard come, or like warp to the Palace of Power through a tomato warp, and King Hippo complains it's not a broccoli warp, whatever that means. And they end up tricking Kid Icarus by King Hippo pretending to use Princess Lana's voice to then get the lamp. And this was one of the first things, and Dexter, you sent me this too, one of the ideas for the thumbnail, because Eggplant Wizards asked the genie to turn the N team into the E team, E for eggplant, that is, and it turns all of the N team into eggplants, and it's so fucking horrifying.
the other thing I thought of,
Eggplant
after
Simon is the best. Can I just say
that was the picture I sent? Yeah, I think
I love Eggplant Simon.
He still has his hair. Great. I'm so into it.
The first thing I thought of, though, was, isn't that Eggplant Wizard's power in the game to turn things into eggplant? Does he need the genie for that?
We just
need to move on, because we'll just be talking about this for the rest of the episode.
And he still has his Eggplant Simon still has the goggles above his one. He has two. He has the two goggles. It would have been funnier if they turned it into just a one-eyed goggle thing, like, because for some reason the eggplant magic would have like turned his goggles into the one eye thing as well. I don't know. That would have been funny to me. That happens, but you know, they end up getting changed back, and due to some crazy circumstances, Kid Icarus wishes them back to Metroid, but he like sneezes and the lamp flies up into Eggplant Wizard's hands right as they're fading out into Metroid, and then they've lost the lamp and the genie because it's all over with the bad guys now.
How many 90s plots were thrust by someone sneezing by accident?
Or like how many 90s jokes were like E for, you know, like a letter and then that letter for something, you know, like E for eggplant, that is, or N for, or like L for loser, that is, or, you know, jokes like that. Like almost every cartoon had some version of that joke, that setup, and it was never funny. It never worked.
No.
At least in my opinion, it was never funny. So they make it back to Metroid and Mother Brain is there, and, you know, Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo suddenly have an idea. They're like, oh shit, we have the lamp. Mother Brain does not. We can ask for whatever we want and she can go fuck herself. And that's pretty much what they do. They decide to turn her into their maid, which is a really weird
Mother Maid.
Mother Maid. And so they make her clean up after herself. And Eggplant Wizard, this was another like what the fuck moment. Eggplant Wizard asked for basically what is it? He wanted to, I wish to be surrounded, or I wish I was surrounded by big juicy tomatoes.
Yeah. And they
and it's just these tomatoes with very feminine legs, and it's horrifying. Like these sexy tomatoes. I'm just like, I've never seen a tomato like that, and I question everything about my sexuality at the moment. Is fruit core a porn option? Who knows?
Somewhere.
If it's the, what's that internet rule? For if it exists, it has a porn or whatever. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But yeah. What are your guys' thoughts on this scene though? Like, Eggplant Wizard turning on Mother Brain and getting King Hippo becomes an actual king, and Eggplant Wizard gets sexy tomatoes.
Yeah, that's that. That I thought too much about everything in this episode. But like, what? Okay, so King Hippo becomes an actual king, mm-hmm. but what? Functionally does that do?
Like, I guess
right, because I was like, I thought he gets
a different crown and a robe and a chest full of treasure for some reason. But like it didn't do anything.
Like, I guess he's supposed to be the king of Metroid now. Instead of Mother Brain ruling Metroid, he's ruling Metroid. Because later on in the episode he turns it into Hippozoid. So I think the whole idea is that he's supposed to rule Metroid.
All,
but then they
all
use
it did
the
was
to
give him a bunch of stuff he didn't actually ask for.
It's like, true.
He there's like a throne in the room and like a turkey and like none of that. Apparently, like when you become a king, you just get a turkey.
That's just fine. What you need. Oh, you get gold and turkey. Turkey and gold.
Yes. The other thing that stuck out to me was Simon at one point wished for a straighter nose and was... was given a Pinocchio nose and never wished for that to go back. It just was.
You're right. I didn't think about it. He should still have that long ass nose and it just goes away.
It just goes away.
I didn't even think about that. He never wished for it to go back. Well, did they wish for things to go back to normal before?
Yeah, yeah, I think Lana did.
Before when that might have been it then. That up. Might.
Yeah. But that was before.
But like, because, well, I don't remember anymore. Anyway, so they have to go after, and like pretty much where Eggplant Wizard summons his juicy tomatoes is where the episode starts getting funny for me. That's where I start, like, that's where I start enjoying the episode because it just gets ridiculous. Like, this is where the stuff in it was actually making me laugh just out of the sheer absurdity.
They also then almost immediately, they're like, well, what should we do now? And they're just like, I don't know, I guess conquer the universe. So there's a conquering the universe montage where they're just like basically running around turning people into eggplants. And
sorry, finish what you're saying.
Nope, go ahead. That's it.
I was just going to say, can we just talk about when they conquered Konga Land? He summoned a bunch of Donkey Kongs that literally were in Nazi uniforms, and they even did like the Heil Hitler salute for a second.
They sure did.
This is in a kid's cartoon where they put Nintendo allowed, or probably didn't know, but Nintendo. It's a Nintendo-sponsored cartoon that puts Donkey Kong in a Nazi uniform.
Because they kind of also look like Girl Scouts. Like, I maybe, like, Yeah. Which also, I don't know, says something about Girl Scout uniforms, I guess. But yeah, it's they're real weird. That's real awkward. They also go to they go to Castlevania Land or whatever they call it, and they summon an eggplant Frankenstein. And that's apparently how they go about conquering that land.
That's all they needed. Who would have thought to conquer it? You just need. That's all that they needed. So when they finally comes back, and you know the end team makes it to Metroid to thwart King Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo. Like I said, like once Eggplant Wizard gets his like weird tomato people, that's where I start like really really laughing. And it just gets better and better as it goes on here, because in they get to Metroid, King Hippo turns it into Hippozoid, Hippozoid, and all of a sudden a bell rings to alert them that, you know, oh gosh, you know, the end team is here to attack us. But that's not what they say. King Hippo goes, oh, the fight bell's ringing, someone's looking for a fight. And I'm just thinking, in this universe, is just anyone wishes for a fight and a bell starts ringing? So like you could be like someone really
maybe
mad could be
maybe
walking
King
up
Hippo
to the bar
has just had like a significant number of concussions, and he's just like anytime someone wants to fight, he just hears a bell. Like
he just has this natural perception. It's just like, oh, this guy's mean mugging me. He's looking for a fight.
That's right. Ding ding. Ding ding, motherfucker.
I just love that idea of just a fight bell. It's not a bell that signifies the start of a fight. It's a bell that alerts you to someone wants to fight. And just for some reason, that idea just made me laugh really hard. So then Simon sees like this, I forget what he even sees, but essentially it's like almost looks like a viewfinder or something like that. And he sees King Hippo, and King Hippo all of a sudden has a boxing glove attached to a spring come out and launch him across the screen. And Mega Man, and you know, they're like,
that's
oh,
right,
no,
it's like booby trapped or whatever. For some
yes,
reason.
Everything's booby trapped. And Mega Man's like, I won't fall for any booby traps. And then the phone starts ringing. And he picks it up, and Eggplant Wizard goes, hello, booby, this is a trap. And then. And I'm like, that's actually a good joke.
Wait,
that's
is
a
this
good
before,
joke.
Wait. I feel like we've skipped ahead of one key moment that needed to be. So at one point, Kid Icarus goes back to like, what is it? Is it like
Mount Olympus or something? I don't know.
Anyway, so he's like, he's sitting in the middle of a stadium for some reason, like an amphitheater.
After destroying another man's home.
Yeah. And there's this dude that basically just like heavy-handedly delivers the like moral of the story.
Oh,
where
it
was literally just like, you're only as big as you feel. Cause he was like, Kid Icarus is like, oh, I'm so big or whatever. And then he's like, well, not when you're sitting in this amphitheater, you're super small. And I'm like, what?
He's still huge compared to the amphitheater.
Yeah. He's still clearly very large, sir. Sir. And,
sir. Can you hear me? Sir.
Sir.
Calm
he's
down.
Very large. He's a very large man.
His exact line was, I wrote it down because it just made me laugh pretty hard. It's not the size that makes a man, but his self-confidence.
That's right. That also needs to be your intro line right there. That's
right. I know. Right? There's like six different ones we could choose with.
Yeah.
No,
and then
right.
like, yeah. And then like Kid Icarus is just like, oh, that totally makes sense. Bye.
he goes, that totally, and he just leaves him after he destroyed another man's home. Like right before he walked into the stadium, he fell down and destroyed this innocent dude's home, and he just sobs and walks off. It's King. I don't understand
the recurring problem for the show is nobody apologizes for anything ever.
Once again, a joke you'll hear in the next.
That's right.
That's, but you know, you're right. They never really apologize for anything in this show, which is great morals for kids. Don't apologize when you make a mistake.
It's fine. People will understand.
people will know what you mean. People will understand that you are like, you are remorseful. So they end up getting into, you know, back to Hippozoid, or formerly Metroid, and, you know, Mega Man gets punched by saying, you know, like, hello, booby, this is a trap, and gets punched in the face. And they end up somehow, like, just for reasons, they don't really do a great job of explaining, but they end up in a boxing ring with Mother Brain, who they've now given boxing gloves, and the N team has to box Mother Brain. And my first thought with this scene was, I don't know why they did this, but they gave Duke boxing gloves as well, and they only put it on Duke's front paws. So he tries to run at Mother Brain, and just, he's so top heavy that he just flips over on his back and just crashes instantly.
Also, like, I understand, like, this was just for the joke, but, like, in a storyline in which they, like, literally magicked in, like, 5,000 giant gorillas, like,
Nazi gorillas,
why were they like, no, like, we should definitely put the brain in a glass jar up against these people who clearly aren't brains in glass jars in a boxing match? Like, that, I don't.
It's such a weird idea, and they end up fighting all the different, you know, everyone tries to box Mother Brain. Simon breaks his hand on her glass jar, and then Kevin is the only one who kind of, he actually defeats Mother Brain, but everyone else kind of ends up getting knocked out. And one of my favorite parts of this is how Eggplant Wizard counts them out. Someone gets knocked out, and he just comes in and just starts, and just counts to 10 really fast. And I don't know why, but that killed me. I thought that was so fun. I wasn't expecting that type of joke, I guess, in this. Like, I'm not saying it's a smart joke, but I wasn't expecting it. It caught me off guard, so it made me laugh.
Also, going forward to our comment about how the show, like, the powers in the show are, like, super inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't buy that Mega Man could not, like, having seen his physical prowess in other episodes, that he could not just, like, completely destroy that jar that she's in.
I mean, he literally shattered the Palace of Power.
Yeah.
Just
shattered. Yeah. What is that made out of?
I know, right? It made out of just, fake sugar glass. I don't know. I've been watching Jackie Chan movies. Anyway, so Kid Icarus then shows up. Kevin beats Mother Brain. He defeats Mother Brain, but with the power of the genie, they turn all of the Captain N team into stone.
Trophies.
Into gold.
Into trophies.
Trophies, yeah. Yes. Because that they won. They get their trophy, and they literally become...
Which actually totally happened in an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Did
by
it
the
really?
Way. Somebody gets turned into a trophy for all eternity. And I want to know that, like, again, like this show doing things before other shows, like, I really want to know that they're like, Joss Whedon is just like a Captain N fan. And he's just like,
once again, Captain N inspiring everything. It's right, Buffy. Right. It's the blue genie from Aladdin. It's got everything. Who would have thought Captain N is actually like the secret? What did you say in the one episode, Dexter? There might as well be the Avengers. Like, they inspired the Avengers. Didn't you say that? Yes.
Captain N is the progenitor of all creatives.
Yes. Pretty much. Yeah. So then Kevin defeats Mother Brain. They get turned into trophies. Kid Icarus shows up, and he's like, I'm too big now to be defeated. And so they wish him super small. And for some reason, he's like, that was all part of my Masteris Planicus or whatever the fuck. And I don't even think that's the line.
I don't even like it when you say it. Like, when you do the Icus stuff. I don't even like it.
I'm not even doing that obnoxious voice. I'm just adding Icus.
I know. I still don't like it.
I don't blame you. It's an off. I was trying to look up. I really wanted to look up the voice actor for Kid Icarus, since he's such a prominent part of this, is Alessandro Giuliani. And this dude has done a ton of other stuff. Like, he is Gambit in X-Men Evolution. He's done a lot of different stuff. He was in G.I. Joe Spy Troops. I've never even heard of that one. He's been in a lot of the Bionicle cartoons. he's the voice of L in the live action Death Note movies. He dubs the voice of L in the, you know, the Japanese Death Note movies. He's the voice of L in the English dub. And he's also the voice of L in the anime and stuff like that. So it's, he's done a ton of stuff. And I just really want to ask him, like, what direction were you given for this character? Like, I don't blame the voice actor for this. I don't blame the voice actor for this. They were directed for this voice. There's no way around it. It's so strange to me. So Kid Icarus is just obnoxious. So he gets turned small. He's in the lamp. And then they're like, oh, well, now since you're touching the lamp, it'll also, like, you're also the master of it. So he just wishes for everything to go back to normal.
Which, by the way, is clearly not a rule. We have already set up that you don't have to be touching the lamp.
No, you don't. Like, it's insane. you don't have to be touching the lamp. King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are barely touching the lamp throughout the course of the episode. And it's just, it, you know, like we said in the beginning, logic just gets thrown out the window with this cartoon. And the episode pretty much ends after Eggplant Wizard wishes them back to where they came from. But his exact line was, I wish Mother Brain and her stooges were gone, like were back, were gone, or everything was back to normal, and her Mother Brain and her stooges were gone. And they decided to use that line as the setup for the Three Stooges joke. And they even call her Mother Mo. They yep. call her Mother Mo after the Three Stooges line.
Yeah.
It's just... they put hair on all of them to look like the Three Stooges. Well, they give the dude.
Well, they took King Hippo's crown off of him so that he would look like Curly. So stupid.
It's such a good. Oh my god, I remember watching it and being so confused. I'm like, what the fuck? Why are they the Three Stooges all of a sudden? And only after watching it the second time, and Kid Icarus's line is a throwaway line. He's like, I wish Mother Brain and her Stooges were gone. Like,
yep.
It's and her stooges. That's it. That's the only hint that leads into this joke. But I guess that's like the genie's twist on it. It's like, oh, he said stooges, so the genie, I guess, has
pop culture references. That's his monkey paw element.
What if he said something about monkeys? Would they do like a Planet of the Apes reference then? Like, this genie must be aware. Holy shit. The genie is aware of pop culture references. Robin's Williams genie in Aladdin is pop culture heavy. It's a connection. We're drawing the lines here. This conspiracy may not actually be.
Look, I'm telling you, he was into Nintendo, like, at the right time for him to legitimately have like seen this show.
I really wonder. I mean, there's no way, obviously, like the genie in this is so different from Robin Williams' genie. But I honestly wonder if he did see the show. Not that it influenced his genie, but if he saw this show, I feel like he would have had. I shouldn't say that. Who knows? But
Zelda Williams is on social. We could be like, hey,
did your dad ever watch Captain?
Was your dad super into Captain N?
I feel like she's active enough on social that if you like post the screenshots and then like make the references, she might actually respond. I bet you.
Okay.
Nah.
Also, what's up with the snake toilet?
That snake toilet, man. I feel like maybe that should be the still for this episode. We always try to pick like a different, like I said before, a sound clip for the beginning and a weird thumbnail.
You're welcome to use my snake toilet screenshot.
I'll send. I don't know if you have seen the previous. I don't know if you've seen the previous episodes thumbnails, but I'll send you them because we got some good ones.
Nice.
You can actually if you look on my Instagram, you can see them all on like some of the other thumb screenshots. But anyway, so the episode ends with Kid Icarus wishing everything back to normal and releasing the genie from his curse of having to do.
Which also happens where?
In
the Disney Aladdin. I'm telling you, there's a connection.
Dexter, I think your theory is holding more water than we give it credit for.
It's checking out. I'm telling you.
The genie is blue. He makes pop culture references, hence the Three Stooges thing in this, and obviously Robin Williams one. And at the end of this, the genie gets set free, just like in Disney's Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But 3 years prior.
Also, when he gets set free, like, I'm fairly certain they did this on purpose, but he then shrinks to the same size as Kid Icarus.
I thought that was so weird.
That
was such a weird idea. And then they walk off into the sunset, and Kid Icarus, one of my favorite fucking lines in the whole show, Princess Lana comes up to Kid Icarus and goes, "You really prove that size isn't everything." I'm like, this is a children's show, Princess Lana. You shouldn't be talking about that in front of children.
Well, we already had the booby joke earlier on Hippozoid. Did we miss that part when there's the booby traps all over? And was it Mega Man? Mega Man.
Oh, and he goes, "Hey, booby, this is a trap."
Hey, booby, this is a trap.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Also, one thing that we kind of glossed over that I loved is when Metroid turns into Hippozoid, it goes from being a brain to a boxing glove on a spring. And it literally says, like, Hippozoid and neon, like, above it.
Yeah. Almost like Eat at Joe's, but it's Hippozoid or something.
Yep.
One thing we talk about a lot on this series that we've been doing, Stefan, is we love the direction of all the background designs, like all the imagination that they use to create, like, the Palace of Power and everything. Like, a lot of it obviously doesn't make sense, but, like, there's so much of it that's just it captures our imagination, and it goes to show with the snake toilet. Like, we'll hone in on a specific screen and just be like, what's happening here? And just the amount of, like, what the fuck in almost every single frame is amazing.
Yeah, like, I just need to know what the function of that object is. That's all. I just need to know what the function of that object is. Is it just if it's a trash can, is it a trash can specifically for snakes? Do you just, like, is that the snake incinerator? Like, what? And then if so, why is it on the basketball court? Is there a snake problem on the basketball court?
Specifically, that shape to keep the snakes on the court coming out too.
I don't understand.
It's so funny. All right, so we should wrap up this episode. We've pretty much the ending of it is, like I said, Kid Icarus sets the genie free, and they walk off into. He tells them, "You can take a vacation on Mount Icarus." That's the name of his place, by the
Mount
way.
Icarus, Mount Icarus, which is like the last place you would want to take a vacation,
because everyone says Icarus all the time. It's everywhere.
It's
That should do it for this episode, though. What are your guys' final thoughts on this? Since Stefan, what were your final
thoughts?
I
think if it's one thing that we've proven is that Robin Williams is absolutely a Captain N fan.
Yes, 100%.
Both Robin Williams and Joss Whedon.
just drawing lines, making those
connections. Look, we're not drawing the lines are there. We're just reading what's on the page.
We're reading the lines on the hands or whatever.
Yeah,
or,
that's right.
The leaves in the tea.
Yeah.
All right, Dexter, what about you?
It's a ridiculous episode, but I loved it. All the visuals in this one, outstanding. The Hippozoid planet, that just the, like you said, the snake toilet, like everything, just the genie's design, everything is
What is it?
I like how you're still stuck on this.
That's what, like, this show does to you. It just sticks to your brain, and with these unanswerable questions. Yeah, this was a good one.
You never need to answer them. That's the best part. You just let it go.
Yeah.
All right. So that should do it for this episode. That will do it for episode 6 of Captain N, the Game Master. Social media time. Where can everybody find you on social media? Dexter, what about you? Where can the good people find you?
Quick and simple. Just my name on Instagram or Twitter. DexterMorrill. You can find me on there posting my own personal artwork. As well as just, you know, having conversations about video games, retro video game, you know, video game preservation, all that kinds of good stuff. Hit me up on there. Also, if you have a snake toilet, let me know.
I need to know. Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, how does Duke get back? But he climbs back out through the snake toilet, by the way.
I feel like, Stefan, if you want to complete your Nintendo Power exhibit, you need to find someone to make a replica of that snake toilet.
This show is clearly not long enough for all of the questions that I have on these episodes.
Oh, no. I mean, like, we try to keep... These are supposed to be mini episodes, and we never, like... We barely keep... I think everyone has been 55 minutes, which is, like, 15 to 20 minutes short of a full one, so they're not really that many at all.
And then you invite me on, and then it's, like, 100... And then it's, like, an hour and a half.
Oh, it's fine, though. I don't people are just getting more content then. So yeah, where can everyone find you on the internet, Stefan?
Sure. If you actually want to interact with me, Twitter is the place, at Art of NP. Also, generally, if you just Google Art of Nintendo Power, you'll find me on some forum, that way. But also I'm pretty active on Instagram, Art of Nintendo Power with underscores. And then I also have a YouTube channel, Art of Nintendo Power. I didn't mention in the future that I am one third of the Collector's Quest podcast, where we talk about the sort of more like nitty gritty part of collecting, like financials and how to organize collections, and like more the collecting aspect, the actual collecting aspect of collecting games, versus like talking about, you know, graded sealed stuff and I don't know.
Oh, all that beautiful
all
stuff.
All that nonsense. All that nonsense. the Collector's Quest podcast. We are basically everywhere that pods are casted. So you can check us out that way too.
All right. And as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do it in a number of ways. You can give it a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. It does help people find the show. Trust me. And if you want to support the show monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month will help grow the show. And the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, and if you want kids to play video games while they're in the hospital, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And also, don't forget to check out Stefan's nonprofit. I keep blanking on the name every freaking time.
I do too. It's the Interactive Art Collection.
There you go, the Interactive Art Collection.
It's essentially not called Art of Nintendo Power because I couldn't have a 501c3 with the word Nintendo in it. So the charity is essentially how we run the pop-up museums. So it is the, for instance, the Art of Nintendo Power exhibit by the Interactive Art Collection. So if you donate to the Interactive Art Collection, and if you'd like to, right now we're still working on it. The actually getting my 501c3 status is pretty new, so we're still working on physically ways to donate. But if you want to donate, you can just reach out to me on Twitter, and we'll figure it out. Your donations will go to things like framing artwork or upkeep on artwork, or because, like, for instance, in 2020 I spent $30,000 on framing, really expensive. Or getting me to shows, that's another big one. Is, you know, I don't charge anything for putting on my pop-up exhibits, aside from asking that the show cover what it costs to get me there, which can be cost prohibitive for some of the smaller shows. So, you know, while like PAX or Portland Retro Gaming Expo may be able to afford me easily, some of the shows that are smaller and further away, it's more difficult for them. So your donations will go toward getting me to shows that can't afford to get me there themselves.
All right. And that will do it for this episode. This was a fun one, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Dexter, Stefan, thank you for coming on.
Woo! Awesome.
Yeah, this is great. I will be back. I mean, I'll be back in the next episode, but then further than that, I would like to come back.
Oh, by all means, man. I would love to have you back on. And that should do it. So thank you all for listening. I will see you all next time.